Hello, this is Terry Cheek, pastor of Calvary Baptist Church in Marion, North Carolina. I want to thank you for choosing our broadcast, and my prayer is that it will be an encouragement to your walk with the Lord. Comments or questions can be directed to me via the link on our sermon audio page. Now, on to your selection.
If you have your Bibles, turn with me to James chapter 3 tonight. James chapter 3. We're going to continue in our study of the book of James. And from last week, the last message that we had in this series, we can remember that we were looking at faith. We were looking at faith and how it was tied to works. And how when we connect faith and works of love, we realize that our walk with God becomes more than just words itself. It's much more than something that we just talk about. And by faith, our words begin to have feet on them. And that's how we carry the gospel out into the world, into the workplace, to those that are within our influence, whether it is family members or neighbors or co-workers or whoever it may be. Now here comes the passage tonight. What happens when we open our mouth? When we talk? Our words and our works should be going together, but what happens when we talk? What do our words say? Often, our words are actually sinful and they don't represent who God is in our life. We can have a testimony of being saved. We can have a testimony of knowing Jesus as our Lord and Savior. But if we're not careful and we allow emotion and frustration, and we allow temptation and trials to overwhelm us in our life and we become loose with our tongue, we have a lot of problems. We can create a lot of problems. Our faith, then, it won't show forth because sin is in our heart. And as a result, that sin will come out of our mouth. When we find ourselves in this condition, we have to realize that our faith is questioned. When others hear it, even others in the church hear it, it distracts and it takes away from our testimony. It takes away from who Jesus Christ is. Now that doesn't mean we can't be frustrated. That doesn't mean there isn't a righteous indignation. There is a righteous indignation that's spoken of in God's Word. What angers God should anger us. What God disapproves of, we should disapprove of. And we should be vocal about it, but we should be loving and we should be kind about it in the way that we share it. We should share and discuss the feelings and discuss the dissatisfaction with what's going on, but discuss it in a way where we're trying to set an example for others to follow. So how do we realize the condition of our heart? How do we realize when we are going too far? When we're going down the wrong road? Because we should want to properly live for the Lord. And in order to do that, we have to know about our relationship. We have to know how we stand with the Lord. We have to know if we're doing anything to jeopardize our walk with the Lord. So from tonight's text, I want us to recognize five things that when they are properly applied to our life, they will help us understand our condition. They'll help us understand our relationship and our walk with the Lord. And it will help us to have a strong faith. And to have that strong faith, we must recognize these five things. But first, let's go to God's Word, beginning with chapter 3 and verse 1. My brethren, let not many of you become teachers, knowing that we shall receive a stricter judgment. For we all stumble in many things. If anyone does not stumble in word, he is a perfect man, able also to bridle the whole body. Indeed, we put bits in horses' mouths that they may obey us, and we turn their whole body. Look also at ships. Although they are so large and driven by fierce winds, they are turned by a very small rudder wherever the pilot desires. Even so the tongue is a little member and boasts great things. See how great a forest a little fire kindles? And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. The tongue is so set among our members that it defiles the whole body and sets on fire the course of nature, and it is set on fire by hell. For every kind of beast and bird, of reptile and creature of the sea is tamed and has been tamed by mankind. But no man can tame the tongue. It is an unruly evil, full of deadly poison. With it we bless our God and Father, and with it we curse men who have been made in the similitude of God. Out of the same mouth proceeds blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not to be so. Does a spring send forth fresh water and bitter water from the same opening? Can a fig tree, my brethren, bear olives, or a grapevine bear figs? Thus no spring yields both salt water and fresh water. So the five things that we have a responsibility to look at, the five things that help us to live better for God and live a better testimony and help us to watch our tongue. First, we need to recognize that there is a responsibility of teaching God's Word. From verse 1, my brethren, let not many of you become teachers, knowing that we shall receive a stricter judgment. Do you realize tonight that teaching is not something that we are elected to by other members? Teaching is something that we are called to of God's Word. And we are called to do it, and understanding that we have, as a teacher, we have a greater responsibility, knowing that we're going to receive a stricter judgment, because we're not going to be judged by the words that we repeat that someone else has written. We're going to be judged by the truthfulness that we applied from God's Word into the ears and the hearts of those that listen. Those that are called of God to preach and to teach His Word are called with a responsibility and an accountability that is far and exceeded anything that any other Christian, any other church member is held accountable to. So it's something that we have to take seriously. It's something we can't take lightly. And it opens up in this passage about the tongue in a very responsible way. It all fits together. If we're going to teach, and if we're going to be a teacher of God's Word, we have to have control of our tongue. Because we can't stand in a class, or we can't stand in front of people, and we can't give the Word of God, and we can't preach it, and we can't teach it, and then turn around after glorifying God from His Word and from His Holy Book, and then go out into the workplace and into the world and into the home and speak freely with a very loose and a very sinful tongue. We bear fruit. And we have to bear the fruit of God's Word. And we have to take that seriously and responsibly, because we will be held accountable for that. Next, we have to recognize that there is a great potential of sin in what we say. Our words are something that is that should be taken very seriously. They shouldn't be spoken of lightly. We should not speak without first thinking. Because according to Matthew chapter 12, verse 36, Jesus' own words, we will give an account for every idle word. Not every cuss word, not every ungodly word, but every idle word. Does what we say glorify God? Does what we say lift up the body of Christ? Does it lift up the Word of God? Otherwise, it's idle. And if it's idle, we will give an account for it. But then how much greater the accountability for the ungodly words that we intentionally say? Whenever we get frustrated, whenever we get aggravated, whenever we just intentionally let something go, how much of a greater condemnation are we going to have from those things? We have a great condemnation. Verse 2. We all stumble in many things. It isn't about will we stumble. We will stumble, and we stumble in many things. If anyone does not stumble in words, he is a perfect man or a complete man. A complete person, able to bridle the whole body. So James tells us how important it is. If we can control the tongue, if we can control what we say, we will be a complete person. And I don't know of any complete people tonight. I don't know of any. You see, there's a picture here of not living, raising a bar. God's not raising a bar that we can't get over. What God's doing is raising the bar to show us that we, in our own fleshly way, we can't clear it. The Lord can clear it. The Lord can lead us and guide us and direct us, and He can take us over that bar. But we have to be submissive to Him. And it's about being obedient to the Lord. When we look at all of this passage and we think, man, they're coming. James is coming down hard on people. The Bible's coming down hard on people. We can't live up to this. No, we can't. None of us have the ability in and of ourselves to live up to it. But Jesus can. The Lord did. He did live up to it. And He, when we submit ourselves to Him, and we let Him live through us, then we can get much, much closer. We can do much, much better in our walk with God if we let the Lord lead it. And how do we do that? How do we let the Lord lead in anything in our life? First of all, we have to be submissive to Him. We have to prayerfully and through prayer be submissive to Him in confessing our faults, even the ones we don't know about. We all stumbled today. We all did. And all of us stumble in ways that we're not aware of. We need to repent daily. We need to be submissive to God through His Word and repent of the things that we knew that we failed in and the things that we didn't, that we didn't know anything about. We done ignorantly. But we need to be submissive in those things and repent of them. Because when we do that, and when we read God's Word, and we cling to it, and we let it speak to our heart and lead us and guide us, then the Holy Spirit has something to work with in our heart and in our life, to work with us on a daily basis. Why is it important? Because number three, we have to recognize that the great power of the tongue is something that can destroy us. Verses 3 through 6 tells us about how little things control big things. First, it talks about the bit going into the horse's mouth that controls the horse. Then it talks about the rudder of the ship, the little rudder at the back of the ship controlling the whole ship. And then it talks about the tongue. The tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity, or a world of sin. The tongue is so set among our members that it defiles the whole body. What we say can affect our entire body. It can affect our stress levels. It can affect ourselves physically. It can affect how other people see us, which affects us emotionally. The things that we say can affect everything about our life and about who we are. And it can set on fire the course of nature. It can destroy our very nature. We're saved. We are saved by grace through faith. But our tongue can destroy everything that God has worked for. Everything that God has worked through us to build up. I'll share a story with you that's happening right now in the news. Maybe you've watched it. I was talking to Mom about it before folks come in. Paige Patterson, the president of Southwestern Baptist Theological Seminary in Texas. Paige Patterson is a stellar leader, a very recognized figure in the Southern Baptist Convention. He has been for decades. I met Paige Patterson in Morganton a couple of years ago. And I believe that Paige Patterson is a godly man. I really do. But Paige Patterson is of a generation or two back, and Paige Patterson has come under a lot of controversy and a lot of fire over his over his words and the choice of words, the way he talks about and describes domestic violence and women in domestic violence and women's roles in churches and women's roles in the home. And he has recently come under a lot of fire. And honestly, I listen to what he has to say, and I've listened to the recordings that they're complaining about, and Paige Patterson just puts it out there like he feels like it is. He speaks his mind. And that, honestly, him giving his opinion and not thinking about his words, his tongue has gotten him in trouble. Now, I believe Paige Patterson is a godly man. I believe he's a godly pastor, but I believe he allowed his tongue to get him into some trouble. And these are things that have been said over the course of several years back, but they've came up now in the climate of this Me Too movement and everything like that, where they've really bit him. They bit him hard. It can happen to anyone. Any one of us can have a weak moment and not watch what we say or how we say it. And we can set things on fire. Maybe not a literal burning fire, but the destruction of a fire. We can destroy everything that God has built in our lives, and we can destroy it in a matter of a few moments just by saying a few ill-gotten words. It can really happen, and it can happen to any one of us. We have to recognize the power of the tongue, that it can be used to glorify God. It can be used to lift up the Lord. It can be used to spread the gospel. It can be a very powerful instrument for the good of God, and it can be a very powerful instrument to tear down the church and tear down the Christian. God doesn't want that in our life. These words in this passage that we have read, the first 12 verses of chapter 3, they're not put in there to be judgmental or to beat us over the head or to make us feel low down and everything tonight. No, they're not put there for that. They're put there to give us a warning of what to avoid and how to handle ourselves and how to live and live in a godly relationship and to live in a manner that glorifies God. Well, we also need to recognize our inability to tame the tongue. In verses 7 through 10, every beast and every bird and reptile and creature of the sea is tamed and has been tamed by mankind. If you go back into Genesis and you read the creation account, it is there that God tells Adam that he can name all of the animals, all of the created animals, and they are created to be the servants of man, the servants of Adam and Eve and their descendants. We have the ability to tame all wildlife. But we can't, for some reason, tame the tongue. It is an unruly evil. Now, we can go into a big theological discussion about all of that in the aspect of fallen man and the sin nature and how it is just of our flesh to speak our mind and just be aggressive and be outspoken and be opinionated about things. And that it is. It is all of our intentions to do that. That's who we are. We all have an opinion and we all have a voice on something. But we have to realize whether we want to or not, our tongue has to be brought under control. Because verses 9 and 10 remind us very specifically that with our tongue we bless God, and at the same time, and with the same tongue, we curse those who have been made in His image. When we tear people down, when we criticize and when we condemn people, we are criticizing and condemning the very image of God. Now, we may not like it. We may not approve of how they're living. We may not approve of what they're saying. We may not approve of any of that stuff. And like I said before, there is a righteous indignation that says we should correct those people and correct those things, but do them in a loving way. But we have to be careful and not fall under this. Not fall under this thing of where we are with the same tongue that we're blessing God and praising God with, we are condemning those that He created in His image. It is very simple to do. It's very easy to do. And I believe we all fall into this trap. at some point in time in our life, it's very easy to do. It is very easy to walk into that, to get caught off guard. It's very easy for us to be in a moment where we're weak and where we're vulnerable. And then the devil puts somebody out there that says something that just mashes that button. And we all have it. And before we know it, instead of being the image of Christ, we are the image of the devil. Be careful. Be careful how you handle yourself. Be careful how you handle your speech. Be careful how you use your words. Because while you may be saying the truth, you may be speaking facts and you may be speaking the truth, how you speak them goes a long way in how those words affect other people. I know there is a saying that we're taught about preaching. And that is, it doesn't matter how you say it as long as you say the truth. It doesn't matter how you preach it as long as you preach the truth. But it's never been more important than how you preach it. Today, it's never been more important than how you preach it. The words that are chosen, the words that are picked and thought through, carry with them weight and influence. Is that weight and influence of those words going to push people to Christ, or is it going to pull people away? That is the power of the tongue, and that is also our inability to tame it. But as I said earlier, God can. God can tame our tongues. God can tame our desire to go off the handle. The Holy Spirit can work and will work in our hearts and in our lives if we will turn ourselves over to Him. That doesn't mean we'll become some type of a robot or something of that nature. It takes work and it takes effort to be obedient to the Holy Spirit. It takes work and it takes effort to be able to come to God daily with confession, with adoration, with praise, with thanksgiving. It takes work to sit down and open His Word and read it and meditate upon it and let it speak to our heart. It takes work and it takes effort to put God first in our life and to let Him have that area of influence. But if we do that, He will make a difference. He will make a difference in all aspects of our life, and it will be noticed in our words and in the things that we say. And lastly tonight, we need to recognize that our words are an indication of our hearts. In verses 11 and 12, does a spring send forth fresh water and bitter water from the same opening? Can a fig tree, my brethren, bear olives, or a grapevine bear figs? Thus no spring yields both salt water and fresh water. Our hearts and our lives can't be both ungodly and godly. They can't be both. They're going to be one or the other. And here is a very real point of self-examination tonight. If we don't care about the words that we use, if we don't have conviction when we use ungodly words and ungodly language and idle words, if we don't have conviction, we need to be concerned. Because if we can speak in a manner that God does not approve of and it not give us conviction, then we need concerned about our salvation is what we need to be concerned about. We need to be concerned that we're not growing hard-hearted and bitter. Because honestly, when we lose control, when we lose that aspect, when we do stumble, conviction should draw us back to God. That is one indicator that we all need to be aware of in our life, is that we're not going to be sinless. We're not going to be perfect. That's not a license to sin. That's not an excuse to go out and sin and fall into foul language or bad language or bitter words. But it's a reality. But when we do, does our conscience bother us? does the Holy Spirit fall? If it does, then praise God for that. Praise God for that, because it's an indication that God's alive and working well and the Holy Spirit's moving in your life. And He's working and He's growing and He is maturing. So tonight as we close, let's think about, as we leave, let's think about moving ahead, how we choose our words and the importance that they have and the influence and the authority that they have in everything that we do.